Inside Out, a little Phil Collins there. Any fans of Phil Collins out there? Yeah. Woo. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, my brother and I, let's just say we were a handful, okay? And we were always pulling pranks and doing stuff, and the real objective was to get our mom to scream. And I look back on it now, I know my mom was a saint, and sorry about that, Mom. But, yeah, we had a poodle named Mr. French, and one of our jobs was to take care of him, and there was this huge bag of dog food that was in the corner of our kitchen. And so from time to time when Mom was paying attention and we knew she would see us, my brother and I would walk by the bag, reach in, get some and munch on it. And Mom would instantly, I mean, she'd start in on us, don't do that, don't do that. That's what is wrong with you boys? Quit it, stop. And so sometimes she would cover her eyes up, and if we really played it up a lot with her, we could get the dry heaves going for her. And you know, sometimes she'd just run out of the kitchen. Aren't you glad to come to church today? Now, personally, I like Purina Puppy Chow, but it was the best, and I'm kidding. So here's the deal. When my mom wasn't around, we would put a napkin in the bag and put juju beads on her juju fruits. And, you know, so when she'd see us getting out of the dog food, well, my mom thought we were actually eating dog food. And so for her, it was reality. And it affected her, like we were actually doing it. And this went on for a couple of years with her. And then one day, my mom reaches in the bag of dog food, gets a handful, and she goes, "You boys are right, this is delicious." And we're shocked, and you'd have to know my brother. My brother's really squeamish. And he started thinking about my mom eating dog food, and it really got to him. And then my mom goes, "The candy's delicious." Yeah, the gig was up at that point. We're starting this series, and we're calling it Inside Out. And what I want to do is look at some of the voices in our head and how those voices that are inside us determine how we live outside. You know, Inside Out is about a war. It's actually a spiritual war, and it's for our minds. You know, Jesus said that the evil one, his mission's clear. It says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, today, what I want to do is look at one of the lies, you know, that the evil one uses and robs you and me. And it's a spiritual lie that he whispers inside our head. You know, John 8:44, it says the devil has nothing to do with the truth. There's no truth in him. It is expected of the devil to lie, for he is the father of lies. And the specific lie that I want to look at is that you have to be strong, that you have to hold it all together. In other words, if it is to be, it's up to me and me alone. And friends, when you listen to that lie, that voice, it begins echoing inside your head, "I have to always be strong." It actually sounds right, doesn't it? And a lot of lies, they sound right. They seem plausible. But here's the reality. You're buying into junk. It's garbage. You know, the evil one whispers, and the fact is, we're listening. You know, Satan's plan of attack is very insidious. The father of lies, he disguises the lies. And friends, he executes with precision. And he presents a lie as truth. And we're listening, aren't we? We're buying into it. We're being robbed. We're allowing our lives to be stolen from us. And so what do? Well, Jesus tells us, he says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what?
Free.
Real quick, I want to look at some specific lies that we're listening to these voices, and they're inside our head. We're buying into them, and the lie is, I have to be strong. I have to be strong. And my hope in prayer is that we can identify, maybe expose some of the lies and get God's perspective, God's teaching on it, and find the truth and kind of reclaim who we are in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the voices that we hear, it tells us we must be strong emotionally. I mean, you listen to the lie, and you tell me, see if this sounds familiar. You know, when someone you love or know, they're struggling, and inside you feel like, I've got to be there for them. But then it kind of amps up, I've got to be strong. It's all up to me. See, I know children, they see their parents, they see maybe a marriage that's struggling, and there's this little voice that gets in their head. Well, I've got to be strong for my parents. You know, if I'm really good, maybe they'll stay together. And they put all that pressure on them. I know flip side, I know parents, they're like, oh yeah, our marriage is a mess. But you know, gotta stay together for the kids' sake. It's all up to me. I gotta hold it together. I gotta be strong. See, the voice whispers, and deep down emotionally, I mean, we're afraid. We feel very vulnerable what we're going through, but you gotta stay strong. Why? Well, don't want anybody to know, for one. We pretend everything's great, and you face a situation, and inside you feel alone. You're struggling. But what do? Gotta act like you're strong. Anybody relate to that? You know, it's a battle in our heads. You know, another one that you'll hear that voice, and it really has to do with being provisionally strong. You know, someone's got to run the household. Somebody got to keep order. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done, right? I got to make sure dinner's on the table. I got to make sure all the laundry's done. I got to make sure the checking account is all balanced. I got to make sure that the lawn gets mowed. I feel the pressure of everything that's got to be done. Does that sound familiar? I mean, a lot of people today, there's a lot of financial pressures today. Wow, money's tight. I really should be better at budgeting. I need to get another job. I need to get a better paying job. And what happens is, and seeing a lot these days, the pressure, it keeps building and building. And if you got kids, it's on steroids, isn't it? You know, how are we going to pay for all their activities? Yeah. How are we going to handle things when they get older? Uh-oh, braces. A car, college, I mean, it just goes on and on. I got to figure this out. I got to be strong. And there's a lot of pain there, and a lot of worry, and a lot of pressure. It's tough stuff. I mean, there's another voice that's be spiritually strong. You know, maybe you're one of a few Christians in your family. I know how this goes. I talk to people all the time, you know. I got to carry the spiritual weight for the family. You know, my family's counting on me. It all rests on me. And here's the thing. Some people, all their friends, they don't have Christian friends. So all their friends are not Christians. And they're like, you know, I got to be there for everybody. I got to do everything right. I got to say the right things all the time. I got to pray for everyone. It's all up to me. I'm the sole representative. I'm the only Christian at work. You know, everybody's watching me. I mean, they're waiting for me to make a mistake. I can't mess up. I've got to show them my faith's real and that it actually works. And there's this great struggle, you know. Maybe you feel the pressure because, and I hear this one often, people go, what if my friends ask me a question I don't have the answer to? Then what? You know, and here's the thing, when you're struggling, when you hit a hard time in your life, I know what happens. You listen to that voice so much, you go, well, I got to pretend like I'm dealing with everything okay. You put on a facade. Hey, can you identify with this stuff, any of it? Anybody feel that pressure? You know, feel the pressure from a professional point of view that you got to be strong. The fact is, how many of you work with someone that's challenging? All right, how many of you are the challenging person? You know, I mean, some of you have jobs you hate. I got to endure this. I got to be strong. I just got to deal with it. You know, some of you, it's a different kind of pressure. You know, nobody else cares at my job. It's all on me. You know, if I don't produce, then it's going to affect a lot of people. Everything depends on my performance. And friends, I'll tell you, I feel that one sometimes as a pastor. And I'm guessing many of you do too in your work. See, Satan is a master at weaving that lie into our lives, you know, into various areas of our lives. And when that gets inside your head, it sounds right, doesn't it? Even sounds noble at a point, but it's a lie. And some of you have bought into it. And friends, Jesus wants you to know the truth, because the truth will what? Set you free. It'll set you free. You know, when I was in high school, I loved to play sports. I played hoops a lot, ran a lot, and I was in good shape in those days. But I never hit the weight room, okay? I didn't work out that way. It wasn't my thing. Wasn't interested until a girl showed up at our high school. And rumor had it, she worked out every day after school at the YMCA. And so, guess where I headed? I headed to the Y. And I was hoping maybe just to impress a little bit, okay? And so after searching around a little bit, sure enough, she was in the weight room working out. And so I thought, this is my big chance, you know? And I went over to the weight bench, and I started loading the bar. And I'm like, 160, I could handle that. 180, I could do that. I finally stopped at 200, all right? I thought, that'll be enough. I'll get her attention. And as it turned out, it was enough to get her attention. You know, so did I mention I was in high school, right? Which means you don't have a brain at that point. You know, I hadn't thought this out much. And so I lifted the bar and started down with the weight. It came down very easy. I just couldn't get it back up. I was like, I was trapped. And I was trapped for quite a while. I'm sure it wasn't as long as it seemed, but I'm trying to figure a way out, okay? And I'm hoping maybe she'll leave, and then at that point I could wiggle out, drop the bar, you know, get the weights off, call for help, whatever. Finally, she notices me. She walks over, she goes, what are you doing? Resting. Gig was up. She goes, "Do you need help?" Yeah. She got somebody to help me. They took the weight off of me. They also took my pride at that point. It's, you know. Moral of the story, stay away from weight rooms, okay? Here's my real point. Your strength is limited. Your strength, no matter how great it is, will eventually run out. It will not be enough. In fact, some of you right now, if you were honest, you'd go, "That's where I am. I am trying to handle this on my own, and it's just too much." And what's going on inside here comes out. You get frustrated. Your fuse, it gets really, really short. And you feel this enormous pressure and guilt, and it just keeps piling up. You know, if only I worked harder, if only I was smarter, if only I was a better parent, a better spouse, if only I could provide a little bit more, if I was just a better Christian and Christ follower, then it would be okay. And there's so much going on. Everybody's got me running around. I'm upside down, going out of my mind. I don't have the ability to get it all done. B-I-N-G-O. Bingo. You can't get it all done. God did not design you and create you to do everything on your own. Your strength, your abilities have intentionally been limited. Why? Well, so you won't depend on yourself alone. So you won't carry everything on your shoulders. See, God created you. It's a God-given design. It's in your DNA. God created you to do life empowered by His unlimited spiritual power. I remember the first home I bought. I needed a lot of work, and I did most of it myself. The neighbors, they started noticing because, I mean, they were excited I moved into the neighborhood because the house was a wreck, okay? It was an eyesore. And so I moved in, I kept working on the house, and one of the first projects I did was I was trying to remove a couple big stumps that were in the next to the driveway, because I wanted to extend the driveway, widen it out. And so I was digging, and I dug for several weeks. I'd get off work, I'd have a few hours, I would dig. And I had a lot of hours invested in this. I moved a lot of dirt, but the stumps wouldn't budge. And finally, my neighbor across the street, he came over, he goes, "What are you trying to do?" And so I told him, and he says, "I'll be back." He pulls up. He's got a backhoe in tow. What time is it? It's tool time. If you didn't get that, turn to your neighbor and explain what I'm talking about. But he took that stump out in about an hour, maybe less. See, there are two kinds of strength. There's human strength, and then there's backhoe strength. And many of you are trying to do life on your own with your limited strength, and consequently, you're worn out, you're frustrated, you can't get through what you're wanting to get through, you can't get everything done because you have limited human strength. And no matter who you are, it is limited. You know, here's the deal. In one area, I may be stronger than you. But another area, you might be stronger than me. But we all have limits. We don't like that, but we do. And however, our God has unlimited strength. You know, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, he writes amazing words. One of my favorite scriptures says, even youth, you know, and that word in the Hebrew for youth is the same word that they use for Greek Olympic athletes, okay? In other words, he's saying even the best, even the strongest, even the most fit, the most supreme athletes grow tired and weary. And young men, they stumble and fall. In other words, the best of the best have limited strength. They get tired. They run out of energy. They can't do everything they want to do. But it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like what? Eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What do we soar like? Eagles. That's what the scripture says. But here's the deal. Most people I know soar like hummingbirds in their life. You ever watch a hummingbird? I got to get the kids. Yeah, I got to get the groceries. I got to pay all the bills. You know, I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to get the projects done. I got to study. Got to help the kids with this. I got to get all this stuff done. And inside, everything's building, isn't it? I can't get it done. Why isn't somebody helping me? I'm getting really mad. I gotta be strong. So many of you, you're flitting about. Friends, when you live like a hummingbird, it'll turn you inside out. It'll take you down ultimately. What's an eagle do? Well, they soar. Those who hope in the Lord soar. He gives you strength. You know, there's not all the effort and frustration. You know why? Because the wind of the Holy Spirit will carry you. You know, here's the tough question. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Don't answer out loud. Are you living a hummingbird life? I got to get this all done. I got to be strong. Look what I'm doing. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Quit listening to the voice in your head that's lying to you, telling you, you got to be strong. It's all on you. You got to try harder. You got to be better. You know, I know some of you are thinking, if I just cared more, if I was just more faithful, if I just worked a little harder, then I could do it. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie from the father of lies. You're being robbed. And it, friends, it is stealing from you, taking it away. Here's the truth. I'm weak. So are you. Vulnerable. Dependent. In fact, I need an attitude of submission. You know, the Apostle Paul, he has something that was driving him crazy. He calls it a thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what it was, but we know that it was bad enough that he struggled continually with it. And he begged God over and over to take it away. I mean, he begged and begged and begged, but God didn't heal him, whatever the issue was. Paul says, but he said to me, this is God speaking, My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness and insult and hardships and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, I delight in my weaknesses. The Greek, that word for delight, it can also be translated embrace. In other words, I embrace my weaknesses. And here's the game-changing question. What weakness do you need to embrace in your life? You know, my greatest struggle as a pastor is, and it's something I had to come to terms with, because I watched a lot of pastors kind of fry out because of stress and demands, and they were trying to do it all. And I wasn't in ministry very long, and I realized as I was trying to raise kids, be a good husband, lead a church, the demands were great. And I realized I couldn't do it all, and I wasn't strong enough, and I wasn't fast enough, and I wasn't smart enough. And when I finally admitted to God and said, I can't do this at all, it was liberating. Now, it did not make some people comfortable, because when they would ask me stuff, I'd go, yeah, I can't do that. I'm not called to do that. And things have shifted. I don't have kids at home anymore, but the demands are just as great. You know, I still struggle from time to time with my schedule, with guilt, with long to-do lists. In fact, I realized a long time ago, the to-do list never gets done. Just stuff's always changing. But I quit listening to those voices in my head. And I quit listening to the lies. And I've come to terms with the fact that I'm weak. I can't do it all. But here's the real important thing. I shouldn't do it all. I'm still pastoring, unlike a lot of gifted colleagues that just burned out. And God strengthened me through the years and continues to expand my leadership, my sphere of influence. But I had to come to terms with stuff. Here's a little sidebar for you. I know some of you, you would say your schedule's an issue. Some of you don't have the strength for your schedule. But let's be honest for a moment. Some of you, a lot of your schedule issues are because you're scheduling and you're not honoring God. You've got your priorities messed up, and you're trying to do everything. Anything comes across your path, I'm going to do that. Let me ask you, why would you ever create a schedule that enslaves you and frustrates you? I mean, friends, you need to sit down and talk to God about it. I mean, some of you have never done that. Just sat down with God and said, hey, let's talk about priorities. I mean, for some, your schedule reflects that because God's not even on the schedule. It's just a hit and miss. Friends, with God's help, hear this, with God's help, you could fix a lot of stuff in your life. Your spiritual enemy, the devil, you know, the evil one, wants to get inside your head. He wants to convince you and get you to actually believe that you could just be stronger, it would work out. You know, if you could just have that strength, you could work out stuff on your own. Your mind, friends, is headquarters. And what you think in here, what you think inside, determines how you live outside. And the evil one wants to steal your peace and destroy your life. You know, get this. Without God, you can't. Without Christ, you can do nothing that's very measurable. You know, when you give it to God, God starts working. God gives strength. God gives wisdom. God gives guidance along the way. It's not all up to you. Somebody needs to hear this. Give it to God, whatever it is. You know, what God starts, what God is part of, God sees through. God finishes because he's got the strength for it. It breaks my heart. Some of you are exhausted and worn out. In fact, some of you are not sure you can take another step. Some of you are in some kind of trouble or tension, and the circumstances, if you were honest, they're just overwhelming. I mean, some of you are facing a situation or a problem, and you can't fix it. You think you can, but you can't. And here's the truth. The truth will set you free. When I am weak, God's strong. It's that simple. But you got to admit those moments when you're weak. I challenge you on this. You know, and I know how this goes because for some, we go, well, yeah, but if I really get my mind to it and I really work hard, I can do whatever. I don't need anybody. Okay, keep going. You will hit the wall one day. Other people are going, well, I don't have to do anything. God will do it. No, you got to be responsible. You got to take steps. You give your best. But you admit, I need God to fill in here because I'm going to come up short. See the balance there? When I'm weak, won't admit it, he's strong. He's strong. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we lay all our labors at your feet. We lay all the difficulties. We lay our schedules. All this stuff where we just keep running and running and running and think we're going to finally fix or change or accomplish. God, we ask you to bless those efforts. But we admit we can't do it all. But we can hold tight to you. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would breathe strength into some. You know, that you just breathe some wisdom. That you'd guide. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just whisper for that person to have the courage to just say, no, I'm not doing that. I can't do all this. God, we're weak. But we know you are capable of all things, so we lean on you today. God, I thank you for all the opportunities you place before us. God, give us the strength to face the things we need to face. We look forward to seeing what you'll do through us this week, Lord. We just give you the glory and praise this day. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Just remain seated. Let this song minister to you. There'll be prayer teams down front. If you need prayer this morning, come down, and moms, don't forget to pick your gift up on the table out there as you're leaving. So God bless.